Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing? Ladies and gentlemen, guess what we're doing? This is season 4 of the African Excellence Podcast. This is a podcast. It's based here in Seattle, Washington. We focus on exceptional Africans and African creatives based here in the Pacific Northwest. North, close to Canada. And today, I'm really happy to start this video podcast series with one and only council running district member, Naija Bon, all the way to the land of jollof rice and great Afrobeat music. We have our own candidate for the District 9. Is it District 9? I got it right. District 3. District 3 Seattle Council member. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for one and only Councilman Andrew Astro. First up, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Oh, Brother Duval, thank you so much for that introduction. It's an honor to be here today and talk about my vision and talk about my goal for running for the City Council and why I want to be a Seattle City Council member.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those who don't know, this is not his first run. He's run before. And he's one of the only Africans who are running for office who have taken that step, a courageous step, to run for office and change policies that make us influence decision-making around Seattle and Seattle suburbs. So I'm going to straight to Seattle. Before I get to the joking part, my name is Comedian General Mutombo. I'm based here in Seattle, Washington. Look around. If you have an event, call me. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get into it. Mr. Andrew, this is your year, 2023.
Yes.
I have serious 10 hard questions for you because I know candidates out there and members of the community want to know, what are you going to change about their lives when you get in office? So my first question to you, why are you the best person for the job?
I'm coming from a lived experience. Okay. You know, the challenges in Seattle, people, there's housing.
Okay.
And for housing, I have been unhoused. I know how to navigate that system. Mm-hmm. I think from a lived experience, I know the best solutions based on what the people on ground need. I am also coming from a place of representation. Mm-hmm. I would be one of the few Black candidates running, one of the few LGBTQ plus running, and also being HIV positive.
Yes.
And the work I have done in the community, from the LGBTQ community to the African American community,
correct,
to the HIV community,
yes,
and just even in the Black movement. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, but most especially for the people, is we need someone that is grassroots, someone that is for the people,
yes,
and not someone that is like corporate or elites. We need the real people,
correct,
for the policies we need.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've never been to Africa, this is your first trip. Get your passport. When's the last time you left Africa?
The Christmas holidays of 2021, I spent a whole month in Nigeria. Yeah.
How was it for you? How was the experience of going back?
So every time I land in Nigeria, okay, I'm always excited. And every time I take off from Nigeria, I always cry. it's you know, Africa is so unique. It's the noise, it's the smell, it's the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's everyone wanting to be around you. It's just a plethora of colors, food especially.
Culture, fabrics.
God, the fashion.
Okay.
And you know, especially Nigerians, we love to party.
Ah, man. Soft life is the only way. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't like soft life, remove yourself. Remove, because life is hard. But ladies and gentlemen, I got to go back to looping around because I'm still in awe why you took this step. I love creatives, people of color, people who step out of their comfort zone to pursue other avenues where we were thought we don't belong. So why did you decide to run? Why did you decide to run the first time? And then why you decided to run again?
So the first time I was running for a position that would have kept me in Olympia at the state capitol as a state rep.
Yeah.
And I was running the platform because I was really tired of people coming during every election cycle telling us what they think we need, or telling us they know what we need, but they are telling us because they want us to vote for them, but they don't talk about how it affects them as individuals. On a state level, health was something very important for me as someone that is HIV positive. And I tell people my medication alone is over $3,000 a month. And also because growing up here in the US, I never saw people like me. I never saw Black Africans, queer people, you know, that ran for office. And in the work I've been doing, I've realized a lot of policies are very whitewashed or white-centric. That they don't give the real results to others. And the only way to change that is to be in the room. And also is, while I was running my last race especially, I was knocking on doors, meeting people. And a lot of them were telling me their concerns and worries and the issues they were facing in the city.
In the city, correct.
And I was like, you know what? Let me go and make those changes in the city.
In the city, correct? Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're here. Changes are here to be made. Changes are here to live forever. And we are thankful that people like Andrew are stepping out to represent the underrepresented. If you're in Pacific Northwest, make sure you vote, Make sure you vote. But before, let's continue. Now, in your line of work, you are faced with a lot of challenges. You know, like me in stand-up comedy, there are people who think I'm not funny because of my dialect. They don't understand. My English is my third, 15th language. I don't play around. But for you, describe an ethical dilemma that you're faced running for office. And how did you resolve it?
I will tell you something about politics. Well, I think, one, the first time I ran was the number of people that would not stand by you or act like they don't know you.
They know you, but they're acting funny inside.
They act funny inside. And it took me a while to cross that barrier and say, you know what, I will still do what I do. And it got to a point, after the primaries, I think it was, should I continue the work I do in the community?
Correct.
Or should I just...
give up and let things be,
And I decided to continue and, you know, get more involved in the community. The connections and the network we grew, I grew during my campaign is what I'm also working on this time.
Correct.
But when it comes to ethics is there are some special interest organizations or special interests whereby they would want you to... They would hold the finances... If you don't support them. And for me, I had to stand on my integrity. You know, the African saying, a good name is better than
nothing. Yes.
And I stood as I'm running a grassroots campaign. And to run a grassroots campaign is not easy. And I decided that I am only going to take money from individuals or grassroots organizations or grassroots union movements, but nothing from corporate organizations or corporate special interest group. And it was a very make money for the campaign or don't raise enough funds. But my integrity and my name and the reason why I'm running is more important than selling my policy views for corporate.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back to you. You have worked with a lot of organizations, a lot of nonprofits in Seattle. And it's a challenge working cross, because you're always a busy person. I always you hop from one Zoom meeting to another. But what civic organizations or nonprofits that you've worked with right now, you're currently an active member, and you really used the influence and the experience you had from them to help your journey right now?
I think I would always give props to the Democratic Party for giving me an opportunity to build myself. I tell them when I came in a couple of years ago, in my very first meeting, they elected me as a board member. But it's the connections I have gained through that. And now I'm the chair of the Washington State's Stonewall Democrats. So for the whole of Washington State. The LGBTQ plus caucus of the Democratic Party of Washington State. I chair that caucus. And it's something that has transformed me a lot because I've learned a lot through the party. I have used my connections to also help other organizations, whether on the political side or on the policy side, nonpartisan issues when I come. But one of the greatest thing is I have used that network to help a lot of African LGBTQ migrants gain asylum or refugee here.
Man, that's big. That's big. Yeah, that's big. US. Thank you.
Yeah. And it's something I am proud of. It's something, you know, I'm also bringing to my campaign, in how to network and utilize the connections you have.
You have, correct.
It's easy to be out there, but if you're not able to build and maintain networks with people and organizations that affect the policies you're trying to make, they would always, you would never really
succeed where you want to. Ladies and gentlemen, please, if you're out there, join a nonprofit, join an organization that's helping the people, be part of the community, because everybody needs community. Now, apart from the nonprofit, I also know that you've been endorsed by different people, especially when you ran at first and now you're running again. Why is endorsement important? You can start with who endorsed you first, your first campaign on the second. And why is endorsement important as a political candidate?
So let's start with my last campaign. I got endorsed by the Transit Worker Union. I got endorsed by the Washington King County Young Democrats.
Yes.
I got endorsed by the Youth World Summit on Sustainable Development, UW Democrats. I also got endorsed by some civil rights leaders in the 37 districts, some city council members, and even union leaders. Endorsements are very important because it tells people that someone believes in your vision.
Your vision,
someone believes in your goals and they can align with that. But in as much as endorsements are very important, doesn't mean you should not try and connect with the people.
With the actual people you're trying to,
Endorsements help with raising funds, with building the network. And for this race, I have the endorsements of State Rep Kristen Reeves and Union Leader Valerie Fisher and some other endorsements that would come mostly after the session in Olympia is over in April. And also trying to get the unions and organizations on my side.
On your side,
especially the immigrant organizations to come and support. Come to support you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tip Show. On here, I bring only candidates who are winning. So, Andrew, you're winning this year. 2023, bring the vote home. But before that, we're going to ask the right questions to make sure Andrew's beliefs, Andrew's vision, Andrew's policies align with what we as a community want to represent it out there. So, Andrew, let me ask you. Why should voters cast their ballot for you?
Why should voters cast their ballot for me? Mm-hmm. Well, because it's me. But, you know, I'm coming as a pragmatic unifier.
Okay.
I am someone that I would listen, work with, and create the results together. Sometimes we might not have the results as of when we need it, but carrying people along the process. I am coming, again, as I said, from a lived experience perspective, but also the work I have done.
Correct.
I have done advocacy work. I've worked with city government. I have worked with county on HIV planning. During COVID, I was on the Department of Health COVID vaccine implementation rollout. I have done work with the
immigrant relief too. We did immigrant relief together,
COVID, which is still happening.
Yeah.
And the work I've done with the U.S. Department of State and global organizations and LGBTQ advocacy. I do a lot of special witnesses as an LGBTQ expertise in Africa and other countries too. Prevent people from being deported. And you know, one thing that people don't do enough is I don't go out to talk about what I do. And you know that.
But you have to start now. Once you get out there, people have to hear your voice and know your opinion.
And I guess it's the whole African ideology that when you help someone, you genuinely help people.
Yeah, we don't want to broadcast it. But the way the things work here, you gotta
But that's why I think people, I'm not one going out to be a celebrity. I'm one going out to work for the people.
Yes.
So that's why I want those votes.
Big up. Guys, go vote. And by the way, he has a campaign running now. We want you guys, very little money to contribute. We don't want a lot. But if you have a lot, please, by any means, put it over there. Where can they contribute towards your campaign?
So if you go to my website, andrew4rseattle.com. And we're just asking most people, especially those in the Seattle area, it's just a $10 donation and a signature to qualify. It's called Democracy Vouchers. And once you go on the website, you go on the donate link, and it's just to qualify to get the Democracy Vouchers that will come in 2 weeks and use for my campaign. So it's a very good grassroots method. Of getting money. So I just need $10 from people living in Seattle area.
You have $10, oh, that's a whole burrito of Chipotle. You just put it on him because we trust him. That's lunch for Andrew to represent us.
And that's andrew4rseattle.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm from East Africa, Nairobi, Kenya. If you have not been there, go travel. We have a lot of wildlife. Not everywhere, like how they put it on Discovery Channel, but we have also amazing food, amazing music, an amazing group of people. Just like every culture has its own like little elements that define it, one thing that people who have visited Seattle over the years have said, a lot of people have been affected by opioid crisis that we have from here stretching all the way to Portland. As a council member, you are gonna be a council member. How are your policies gonna affect the crisis that we have that has all this overdoses over here?
This is a very important issue because it affects a lot of the communities I intersect with, like, you know, in the African community, we just lost two people this year to opioid crisis.
Yeah.
And in the LGBTQ spaces, we have that a lot.
Yeah.
We see the crisis on the streets.
Correct.
And I think we need to start by addressing, you know, I tell people when we talk about homelessness or talk about the people
unhoused.
On the streets and unhoused community.
Yes.
And I tell people one of the reasons why this is so overlooked or this is serious is because people put drug abuse as a unhoused or homeless crisis.
Correct.
But I tell people the drug abuse or drug dependency or chemical dependency, it's its own issue as a whole.
As not just the homeless people.
Exactly.
Just the people,
correct. Just the people. Because remember, we had the brothers that they were not sleeping on the streets. They had good jobs.
Man, they went to college. They were fine.
And that was what I tell people is once we're able to take that away, because once you think about how do we solve this crisis, we need to start treating it as a crisis that affects everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We need to invest in education about this crisis more. We need to, when we talk about education, also language education on the African community, the NHAAPI community, mm-hmm. people from other parts of the Hispanic community.
Correct.
We need to also invest more in Narcan on our streets.
Yes.
We need more, and we need to give incentives for city social workers.
Mm-hmm.
But this is another thing I tell people is, In my district, there's a high, rents are very high.
Rents
also affects commercial spaces.
Yeah, true.
So organizations that could provide these services are usually kicked out where they are most needed because they cannot afford
the rent
in those spaces.
Mm.
And one of the initiatives I want to do is to create a tax exempt program for small businesses or social organizations that provide services or even to just boost people who are looking for businesses, but the overhead cost is high.
Mm-hmm.
How can, there are lots of empty commercial spaces that only big organizations could come and buy our rent. So once we're able to invest more in those, in things like rent, so that social services could come back to these areas they are most needed, we invest in through public health, we invest in safe sites because some people might say to reduce the needles
correct.
On the street, invest in things as little as trash cans.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, my vision of a trash can is, I love saying the Amsterdam version, where the trash can is underground, but you only have the opening up. So you just throw everything, but everything
goes
down.
Underground.
And then once they want to clean it, they just bring out the can.
You don't need to see it. You
don't
need to see the visual.
And it's safe. The needles are safe. No one can go digging in.
Correct.
But it's clean. It's safe. But most especially is education, education, and approaching from an empathetic
angle. Yes.
It's not about having more cops on the streets. That would not solve the solution. Mm-hmm. It's about investing more in social work. Oh, we have a program in the Seattle Fire Department called Help One.
Help One, okay.
And they only open Monday through Fridays, and they are limited on the times they open. Why can't we take money from our budget and put more money there so that
they can be open for longer time?
And 24/7, exactly. And give people the incentives to work there. So those are the small nuances that people would not really look at as an important issue as a city council member. Mm-hmm. But those are very important things solving crisis. As they say in Africa, it's small drops of water build.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've had our council member Andrew here today telling us why we should vote for him, giving us his policy, how he looks at the future of the PNU, which is Pacific Northwest, and how we can handle the opioid crisis. If you're suffering and you have a family member who's a functioning drug addict, FDA, or a functioning alcoholic, FA, or somebody who just needs help in controlling some of the vices that they have to, please reach out, website, our coalition. We have resources we can direct your family members to. Please don't wait till it's too late. We're tired of those funerals on WhatsApp. We want to handle the situation before it gets bad. And if you think you're not affected, don't wait till your family member is gone because you assume the drug addicts look dirty and stuff. They're not functioning. You're wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in with us. Andrew's a fun person. He's a fun person. We cook and we do a lot of community stuff together. For people who don't know, what's your favorite food? What do you like eating?
I'll say jollof rice, but this is where my community would. My favorite jollof rice is actually Liberian jollof.
No, it's just the sticky one. So they use butter. Them is not like ours.
When you do the Liberian jollof with like the grilled peppered fish,
it's different.
It hits differently.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Pepe, go look for jollof rice. It's our signature rice from Africa. Go check that food out. And what can say for fun, like when you're not working on the weekends, or if you have a chicken vacation, what do you do? What do you like doing?
On Tuesdays, actually, I play competitive dodgeball.
Oh, nice.
That's something most people don't know about.
That's a bit.
And that's another area, like, investment in our parks and recreation, because I do competitive dodgeball on Tuesdays.
Okay.
I play my Nintendo Switch. Oh, I love Mario Smash and Mario Kart. And then if I don't want anything electronic or physical, I love playing cribbage.
Okay. I need to get on board. The only thing that he added to my life, Mr. Andrew, I went to his house once. We were there. We were picking up some stuff for a non-profit function. Is he made me buy this smart, what was he called? Air fryer.
Yes.
Ever since I brought that air fryer to my life, ladies and gentlemen, my life has changed. The first time I got it, I ordered the same one you have.
Yeah.
I made like 15 meals at the same time. I made burritos, I made chicken. I just wanted to see how this thing works.
Oh, yeah. I love cooking. I think it's an African thing to cook. It's so much in our blood.
Bro, I made like 15 meals for the week. And the fact that he doesn't use oil, it's healthy. Just stick it in there, then it tells you shake, 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 shake. Ladies and gentlemen, get your air fryer. It's a love language. If love, February is coming.
February 14th is coming. Also, for those in Seattle, February 14th is coming. I would say vote yes on the initiative 135 for social housing, as we've talked about.
Yes, please. Yes.
So please make sure you drop your ballots by February 14th.
That's it. By February 14th, drop your ballot. If you don't have a spouse, you don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, please get you an air fryer. It'll change your life. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the African Excellence, The Tip Show. Thank you, Andrew, for being here. Until next time, we will see you. Hey!
But in the street, it seems like Django Lover. In the street, it seems like chicka, chicka, chicka.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Seattle. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Rashiel Flu. Go vote, y'all. Go vote.